Amen indeed. We do begin a new message series today entitled, We Believe. And I would remind you again that there is a devotional guide for you in the bulletin each and every week. It's there provided for you for your own spiritual growth, and we encourage you to use that. You can use it in groups or individually. But now at this time, let us be in an attitude of prayer together. Eternal God, we do thank you for the gift of who you are. We believe in you, and we believe in your church, and we believe in this time of worship together. So, Lord, we pray that it is edifying, it is empowering and strengthening of us in our faith. And now, Lord, you have given to me the amazing privilege and responsibility of preaching your word to these my friends and your servants, Lord, a task I need your strength in order to do. So, Lord, please speak to me and through me in such a way that all of us receive a word from you that will make a difference to our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So today we begin the series, We Believe, What Christians Believe and Why It Matters. So why in the world does this series matter? Well, I believe, first of all, it'll matter to those of you who are curious. Maybe you're curious about the Christian faith. You're not sure about becoming a Christian or following Jesus Christ, and you want to know what you're getting into. Or perhaps this series appeals to those who want clarity about what they really believe as Christians as they grow deeper in their faith. Or maybe for some of you, this series will appeal to you because it will help you communicate what you believe to other people. And perhaps you don't have a lot of confidence in doing that. But whatever it is and whoever you are, I believe this series is going to strengthen your faith and inspire you as we grow closer in our walk with Jesus Christ. I believe the beliefs of our faith are just as essential and relevant as they were to the early church. So today, we begin with our belief appropriately in Jesus Christ. You know, the majority of the Apostles' Creed is dedicated to Jesus Christ and following him. But why in the world do we follow a peasant man who lived in the Middle East 2,000 years ago? Why do we follow a man who lived 2,000 years ago, who never wrote a book, never went to college, never held a political office, never really visited a big city, never married, never had a family, and died homeless and poor? Why? Yet, some people today, when they get really angry, they will cuss and scream out his name. I mean, you ever heard a golfer miss a 3-foot putt and scream out Thomas Jefferson or Robert E. Lee? No. Yet many will shout the name of a man who was born from a teenage mother. Many will shout the name of a man who was brutally executed as a criminal at 30 years old. Why? For some mysterious reason, Jesus Christ is the most amazing, the most popular, the most influential figure in all of history. More books have been written about him. More artwork has been created of him. More songs have been written about him. More than any other person in the history of humankind. We even divide our time and our calendar by him, from the time before he was born and after he was born. Jesus Christ, his influence on this world is staggering when you think about it. A third of all the world claim to follow him. But the question is, do we really know this Jesus Christ? What do we know about him? I remember the first time I saw a picture or a rendering of Jesus Christ when I was a little kid in Sunday school. And many of you may know some of these pictures. You know, Jesus Christ, he looks like Kenny Loggins in those pictures, you know? And he's with children all around him, and he has a big smile on his face, and he looks so kind. He looks like a divine Mr. Rogers or Captain Kangaroo. And he was a man who taught others to be kind and to love one another. It was a very comforting picture. Yet, as I got older, I began to ask some questions about that. And one of the questions I asked was this: why would a man who taught other people to love and to be kind get brutally executed? Why would anybody do that? Who could bring themselves to crucify Mr. Rogers or Captain Kangaroo? And whenever my Sunday school teachers would talk about Jesus, in the same breath, they would talk about, you know, following the rules and being careful who you hang out with. Yet when we study the life of Jesus Christ, he befriended outcasts and misfits in his ministry and his life. And when he got angry at the religious people. And it was the religious people who accused him of being a party animal and hanging out with riffraff. And so it's interesting. Jesus is often associated with playing it safe, of following the rules, when Jesus did neither. When you look at his life, do we really know Jesus? I mean, do we really know Jesus Christ? Now, whether or not he existed is irrefutable. There are all kinds of sources outside the Bible that show us that he existed. There's more evidence that he existed than many of our American forefathers. Yet, what do we believe about him? And why does it matter? I mean, I believe today the overriding question, the penetrating, convicting question is this. Why should it matter that this peasant man lived in the Middle East 2,000 years ago? Can't we just call him a notable teacher, a great figure of history, and be on our way? Or should we see him as more than that? You see, what we're going to find as we look closer at the life of Jesus Christ and what he said and what he taught and what he said about himself, as we do that, we are all faced with a very powerful and penetrating question. And how we answer that question individually will determine our destiny. How we answer that question will determine our purpose. How we answer that question will determine our relationships and how we deal with people and how we honestly deal with our lives. It's that important. Now, to get to this question, I want us to take a look this morning just briefly at some of the things that Jesus said about himself. For us to really get to the truth of this today, folks, we got to get away from what the world says about Jesus or what the culture thinks about Jesus. And let's take a hard look at what Jesus Christ said about himself. First of all, in John 10, Jesus Christ makes an astonishing claim. You're not going to believe this. John 10, beginning with verse 30, "The Father and I are one," Jesus said. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus replied, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" And the Jews answered, "It is not for a good work that we're going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, though only a human being, are making yourself God." Jesus Christ claimed to be God. He claimed to be God. No other figure in the history of humankind made this claim. Krishna didn't make it. Muhammad didn't make it. Gandhi didn't make it. Buddha didn't make it. Only Jesus Christ claimed to be God. And anybody who makes that claim is either a lunatic or is telling the truth. Ever wondered who God is and what God is like? Ever wondered who created you and who created this world and who's behind all of this? Jesus Christ said, "If you want to know, look at me," he said. Anybody who says that is either nuts or they're telling the truth. Let's look at another astonishing claim from Jesus in Luke 5. You're not going to believe this either. Or maybe you will. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Then the scribes and Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus claimed to forgive sins. Jesus claimed to have the power to wipe away all those things that enslave us, church. He had the power, he claimed, to wipe away all those things that keep us in the dark. He had the power, he claimed, to give us a new beginning, to take away that shame and guilt. Now, have you ever known anybody to make that claim in this world? Sure, you hear people who say, "I can help you make more money, perhaps. I can help you drive a better car. Maybe I can get you a better job. But have you ever met anybody who said to you, I can wipe away all your shame and guilt and give you a new beginning and give you a second chance? Do you desire a second chance? Healing in your life? Jesus Christ claimed to give of us all of that, to experience that. Now look at another claim Jesus said that he made. John 3:16, most of us have this memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Jesus Christ, this man, claimed that if we put our trust in him, he will give us eternal life. In other words, Jesus said, if you put your trust in me, I will give you power over death. Over death. You fear death today? You ever wonder what's on the other side? Ever long to live with a new body that's completely healed without disease, in a place with no crying and no pain and no violence? He claimed to give us eternal life, which begins now, but it's eternal in its duration. Jesus Christ claimed to give us power over death. So here we go, church. Jesus Christ claimed to be God, claimed to forgive sins, and claimed to give us eternal life. You see, when you truly see the life of Jesus Christ and what he said and what he taught, you are forced to make a decision, folks. Jesus Christ demands a response. You see, you can't just say he was a notable teacher or figure. Jesus Christ does not give us that choice. He doesn't give us that choice. He claimed all those things, which means he is either a lunatic or he's telling the truth. So the pivotal question for all of us today as we begin this series and what we really believe is, who is Jesus Christ to you? Not to your grandmother, not to your grandfather, not to your father, not to your mother, not to your pastor, not to your friends, not to your neighbor. Who is Jesus Christ to you? And how you answer that question will determine everything. You see, it's a personal question. Very personal. Because when you receive that question, or that question is asked of you, which comes from your soul as you look at Jesus' life, you are deciding whether or not you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, whether or not you want Christ to bring you joy and love and hope into your life, whether you not want Jesus Christ to give you a purpose. It is a personal question. But I'll tell you this, it's also a communal one. I believe it's an essential question the Church of Jesus Christ must ask of itself today. Because I'll be honest with you, I believe in many ways the American church is in crisis. And one of the reasons why it's in crisis is that it's forgotten its identity in Jesus Christ. In fact, Walter Brueggemann would say, and does say, the crisis in the American church has nothing to do with being liberal or conservative. It's about forgetting our identity as Jesus Christ followers. That's what it has to do with. Folks, it doesn't matter if you're liberal or conservative, you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, whether you voted for Trump or Biden, whether you're United Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian, whether you like Teslas or Porsches or Chryslers. All that matters is what you believe about Jesus Christ, whether or not you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, because this is what I believe. This is why I stand and proclaim to you today. Jesus Christ is the help and hope of the world. And if we don't believe that, why are we here today? Jesus Christ is the help and the hope of the world. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, the Bible says, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? And oftentimes, when I talk to other preachers about this particular church, one of its strengths is this church's diversity. We have a variety of opinions and viewpoints, political views and theological views in this church, which I think is one of the reasons why it's so strong. And people will ask me, especially lately, how do you preach to a church like that? And I always say to them, by preaching on the one thing that unites all of us, Jesus Christ and his love and power. Maybe some of you are saying, well, Charlie, I believe in God. I believe in a higher power. No. What kind of God do you believe in? You see, that's why we didn't begin this series with I believe in God, because the question is, what kind of God do you believe in? What's his nature? What is he about? The Bible tells us, Colossians says this, Christ is the image of the invisible God. And the Gospel of John said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And God's personality, his mind, took on skin and lived among us. You see, only the Christian faith makes that claim. Only the Christian faith dares to claim that God would deign to come to us in a human being to show us what he's like. And every other religion, humankind is desperately searching for the divine, desperately searching for God. But in the Christian faith, a faith unlike any other, God comes down to us. On our own, we can't understand God. On our own, we can't save ourselves. That's why we believe in Jesus Christ. And why does this mean so much to me? Because in a minute, I'm going to get into this sermon, so just be patient, okay? Because I stand here before you as someone who has experienced the power of Jesus Christ, felt the touch of Jesus' love. When I have been in pain, he has been closer to me than my very breath. When I have been hurting, I have felt and tasted his tears. When I've been filled with joy, I sense his power and strength. When I need to do something beyond myself, which is often the case, that I am not equal to, Jesus Christ is there. So I speak to you as one today who knows it and believes it and has experienced it. Peter Kreft was a professor at Boston University. And one day he told his class, every person that met Jesus Christ was really changed. And if someone claims to have met Jesus Christ and is not changed, they really haven't met Jesus Christ. Because when you touch Jesus Christ, really you touch lightning. And what's interesting in the Bible is that oftentimes when there is an episode or a narrative when people encounter Jesus Christ, there is a Greek word that is often used about that experience. And that Greek word is thauma, which means wonder. Wonder. Whether a person was for Jesus Christ or against Jesus Christ, whenever they encountered Jesus Christ, they were filled with wonder and awe and sometimes shock. An encounter of Jesus Christ has the power to open your heart. And you have to make a decision. Is he nuts? Or is he Savior? Is he a lunatic? Or is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And maybe some of you today, your heart is slowly opening to this. You never really answered that question. And you've tried everything else in life, and nothing ever does it for you. You've tried money, success, escapades, trips, adventures, and it's always left you empty. And you're coming to know today that truly the only way you're going to find wholeness and peace is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Rick Lawrence is a Christian ministry guru. He's written all these best-selling books about ministry in the church and growing a church. And he goes around all over America and teaches these conferences. And in one of his books, he talks about teaching another conference, a big conference and he just felt depressed. He just wasn't interested in all of his techniques anymore and all of the stuff in his books. And he began to lead this conference, this session, and he said to the group, you know, just throw all my books away right now. Let's just talk about Jesus and how he's been active in our lives. And he said for the next 2 hours, the room was electric with Jesus Christ. But then after that, he said he got depressed again and very sad. And so he decided to find an empty chair in the middle of this conference center as he watched all these people with their books and everything walking by. And he was in pain and he began to pray to the Lord. He said, Lord, why do I feel this way? And he said, I almost heard audibly from Jesus these words. Because you're bored with everything else but me now. There aren't enough golf courses and mountains and trips to the lake and football games that can do what Jesus Christ can do for all of us. Is he crazy? Or is he Savior? Let's pray. As we prepare ourselves to receive this holy sacrament, maybe you're someone here today who you desire to truly receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Perhaps you're someone who wants to renew that faith. If that is the case, pray this prayer silently with me. Oh Lord, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of all my sins. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and guide me by your grace to live a life that is pleasing to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let it be. And thank you so much for worshiping with us today. We hope this has been a time of inspiration, of challenge, of meaning for you. Receive this benediction. And now may that mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you also. May the love of God, our Heavenly Father, abide with you this day and throughout this week. May the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit fall fresh upon you. And the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ go with you and sustain you, both now and forevermore. Amen.